Well, the day's the big day. Groundhog's Day. 6 more weeks of winter. I can't think of other things besides sports. If you're a guest here today, my name is Greg English. I serve as a recreation pastor and glad to have you today. We're going to talk about this idea of listening. And what does that really mean, and how do you do that, and do you really want to do that? So title is Speak, for Your Servant is Listening, and we'll look at 1 Samuel chapter 3 as we get going. But a couple of thoughts, this idea of wrestling with this whole thing of listening. Listening's hard, and I'm not sure we really want to do it all the time. I mean, think about it. You get overcrowded in your schedules. And I think about just as we had this little conversation today, just thinking about within a week's time frame, I had the opportunity to I could engage 700 or so people who come through the rec center, 400 or so people who play in upper basketball, 41 plus parents who are in our Challenger basketball league. So any given week, I can have the opportunity to engage 1,300 people. Man, my schedule just feels so overcrowded that I just bypass right on through. Or I'm more interested in getting the things that I have to get done in terms of cleaning the facility or making sure we have staff at the facility and making sure the leagues are running okay and checking on league directors and coaches and things like that. I get so driven by that to-do list or that activity list that, I'm hearing, but I'm really not listening. And then there's so many outside noises and distractions. Did you catch the video? It was noisy at first. But as the video started to slow down, it became quiet. I'm just curious, was your reflection on the words different in noise than it was in silence? As I thought about this week and I was processing this, I did a little experiment in my mind on Thursday and Friday, and I can't tell you the number of sounds that I heard. I just went to the post office. I was gone 20 minutes. I ran to the post office back, and there was 4 people in the post office. 3 people's cell phone kept tweeting and buzzing. I was not one of them. But I just thought, man, in a moment of silence, I'm hearing, beep, beep, wah, eh. I mean, it's everywhere. Think about the sounds that you hear and what's going on. So outside noise and distraction, any of these are a struggle for me every day. I mean, it's got to be the same for you. We're all human. But listening's really hard, and you got to admit it. See, if we're really going to listen, then it takes a specific focus and concentration in order to do that. And that's what the challenging part of it is. I'm not going to speak from a female perspective. I'm wiser than that. But I will say from a male perspective, we have this thing called selective hearing. Know what I'm talking about? I'll just leave it at that. If we're really going to listen, this is what I've come to the conclusion of and what I've learned through a process, is that in order to truly be listening, we have to be active in that, okay? So that means if you're talking to me and we're communicating, then really what I need to be doing is paraphrasing in my mind what you're saying. Not talking over you while you're talking to me, but paraphrasing in my mind what you're saying to me so that I can come back and engage in that. So I remember we lived overseas, Northern Africa, Middle East. We move into the country. I'm not a prolific English speaker, despite the last name may fool you. But I go to this country. Nobody speaks English. They speak Arabic with a little bit of French in between. So I remember us having to learn language. I mean, we couldn't do anything. So we had to learn language. So I'd have this tutor come over for 2 hours. I'd sit down and teach me this. And Kelly had the same thing. And kids were off doing their thing. And so the other thing about not being a good listener is you control the conversation. So in learning another language, I knew in my mind the conversation I was going to have with the person in front of me. And every now and then I would let them interject. So I'd get ready. I'd had my lesson. I'd go out in the street. I knew when I'd leave my house, we lived in a house that was with another Arab family. So when I left my floor and entered into their floor to leave my house, I had to be full throttle, ready to go. So I go down, I go out, I go down the street, I got it ready. I've gone from English to Arabic in my mind. Salam alaikum. Anna Greg. Mashaad Fang. Hey, how you doing? I'm Greg. Nice to meet you. All right, I got my stuff out. So now I'm engaged, waiting. Okay, I've said this, and now I know what he's going to say back. I hope he says back, Mashaad Fang. Anna Yusuf. Smiti Yusuf. Oh, nice to meet you. My name is Yusuf. So I got that. I heard it in Arabic. I threw it back in English. Now I got to come back to something else in Arabic. You do that 8 hours a day, you're tired. There's nothing physically exhausted about working overseas. It's a mental game. But it's the idea that what I learned in the process was when I'm really paying attention to somebody, I'm in tune, I'm engaged. I've got the dialogue going within my mind that I can be receptive to, I'm attentive to, and I can respond to in some form of action. Listening is tough. It's not easy. So as we started this read through the Bible in a year, the chronological portion of it this year, I was thinking back in December. So what was going to be my word of the year? So I thought, well, hear the word of God. That's a good passage. So I thought, well, hearing is different than listening, so I need to change the word to listen. So for me, two things for 2014. I want to listen. I just don't want to hear. I want to listen to the word of God. And then I want to listen to others, those people that come across my path on a regular basis. I need to do a better job of that. And it's okay to admit that. So those are two things that I'm thinking about. So in order to do that, I'm using the audio version of the Bible off my phone. I just stick it in my ear, and I get on the track, and I walk the track. And I just listen to what it is. And then I want to be able to gauge others. See, I think it's important when you're listening, making that eye contact, making that connection, making that intentional attentiveness about engaging the person in front of you, that they're the most important person that's around you. And that's not always easy. You know, studies have shown 25 to 50% of people accurately comprehend what they hear. So what that means is half the people you talk to don't care. They're not listening. I mean, I can engage 10 people today. 5 people really, really care what I got to say. Twitter's a great resource. Just throw it out there and go with it. But it shows me that the most problematic issue in, you know what the most problematic issue in relationships is? You know the phrase? You're not listening. If you look at couples, and in their relationship, you think about the dialogue every day you're engaged together. But what we see oftentimes in marriage counseling is they just don't listen. Or if you look at the executive that's going from business to company, changing back and forth, why is that happening? I'm not being heard. They're not listening to me. I'm going to go somewhere where I can be heard. It's a real human need. So hearing and listening is two different things. When we think about hearing, we think about really what's going on in our mind is this alarm system. So right now, I can hear the fan blowing. I can hear a light buzz above me. I can hear action that's kind of alarming to me. So that's what hearing does for you. It sounds the alarms. Listening is different. It's the engagement of something happening. So what makes listening so hard is every 50th to 1,000th of a second, your hearing process is constantly going of background noise of what's taking place. On top of that, you're trying to engage in whatever conversation you're in or whatever listening activity you're being part of. Guess what the two of those do? They clash. And it takes discipline, really, to be a good listener. So if that keeps you up tonight when you lay down and go to bed, it's not my fault. Just work it out. 1 Samuel chapter 3, I want us to look at the idea of attention and listening over the concept of hearing. In 1 Samuel chapter 3, we really, it's the prophetic call to Samuel, and there's probably three or four different sermons you could come out of that, but this is just me having a conversation with you and just what I'm trying to process. So Samuel's going to get his call here. He's going to follow Eli. Eli's house is in trouble, and that's kind of where we pick up. We're also going to see a very interesting manifestation of God to Samuel in this passage as well. But in order for Samuel to receive or to listen to the receive the instruction, he has to listen to both the voice and the person of God. So that's a key part of that manifestation that's going to take place here. So let's look at chapter 3, 1 Samuel. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord before Eli, and word from the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were infrequent. It happened at the time as Eli was lying down in his place. Now his eyesight had begun to grow dim, and he could not see well. And the lamp of God had not yet gone out. Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. That the Lord called Samuel, and he said, "Here I am." Then he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. The Lord called yet again, "Samuel." So Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he answered, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor had the word of the Lord yet been revealed to him. So the Lord called Samuel again for the third time, and he rose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli discerned that the Lord was calling the boy. And Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, that you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Then the Lord came and stood and called as other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." The Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I am about to do a thing in Israel with at which both ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. And that day I will carry out against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. For I have told him that I am about to judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knew, because his sons brought a curse on themselves and he did not rebuke them. Therefore I have sworn to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever." So Samuel lay down until morning. Then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord. But Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. Then Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." And he said, "Here I am." He said, "What is the word that he spoke to you? Please do not hide it from me. May God do so to you and more also if you hide anything from me of all the words that he spoke to you." So Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. And he said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what he sees good to him." Thus Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fail. All Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was confirmed as a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again at Shiloh, because the Lord revealed himself to Samuel at Shiloh by the word of the Lord. So as we walk through this story and this narrative, we see that Samuel's a young boy. He's ministering to the Lord before Eli. Eli is in his last days. There's had some disruption take place in the house in regards to the sons, and some judgment was going to come. And here's Samuel. One other thing we notice about this passage is that the revelation of God's word was rare. God at that time, with the wickedness and destruction that had taken place, kind of withdrew his spirit. And so prophecy and prophets themselves, there wasn't really any settled prophets at that time that were speaking the word of the Lord. So it was rare. God was waiting to raise up a new prophet. And that's what we see in Samuel here to be the prophet of Israel. So God's revelation would also come to Samuel in a peculiar way. You would think during this time most people experienced visions and dreams. But yet the way in which God revealed himself was also peculiar and new. So that kind of sets us up where we are. So what about this idea of listening and being attentive? So God gives this revelation, his manifestation to Samuel. And how is it, in which ways does he do that, and how does Samuel respond to it? First thing we see in verse 3, he said, "The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was." Now, Samuel's room, he was in this big facility. So his room was not stuck out in the middle of all the activity. You think the idea of being a servant, typically where is the servant? He's in the back. I think it's determined through this passage here that we see his quarters, his place was in between that of Eli's room and that of a temple. What was his two main jobs? To care for Eli and to prepare the temple for worship and service. And so his place was tucked back. I'd also venture to say that his place was probably not that big. It was a small little place, probably enough for him just to lay his head down, have a bed, candlelight, that's about it. But it was a place, and it was a quiet place. And I think that's the thing that we have to think about. In terms of listening specifically, and listening and being attentive to the voice of God, we have to have that place in order to listen. You see, our culture is cluttered. We're cluttered with social media. We're cluttered with conversation. We're cluttered with multitasking. We're cluttered. It's all around us. I remember after we came back to the United States, after living in a city of 8 million people and coming back and entering suburban America, I went through withdrawals. I'm not hearing mopeds, cars beep, people scream, donkeys running by. I mean, it was a shock. But I also learned I had no idea how much white noise was in my mind at all times. And so here's Samuel, not that he chose this place, but he was put in this place where it was quiet and he could respond to first his master Eli. Notice every time he thought it was Eli, he could hear and respond to it. And then we'd see he respond to God through it. It's difficult for us to discern the voice of God in a culture that so rapidly throws distractions and false sounds at us. It's a challenge. We probably do more hearing than we actually do listening. Sure, Samuel missed God's call a couple of times. We all do. But I think it's good reason to. He was young in the faith. He hadn't heard God's voice before. That was a new process to him. But I think it's something interesting about when he did hear God's voice. If you look at the first couple of times, when Samuel, his response was that to Eli. Because he hadn't heard God's voice before. But he was immediately responding. He'd got up, he'd run over to him and say, "How can I help you?" But when he came with the understanding that Eli had taught him that it was God's voice, when he responded, when he had listened, he laid for a moment. You notice the difference? A lot of times, maybe when we're doing more hearing, we have a quick response to action, and yet we go about it. But yet, when we're really engaged in tune and we begin to listen to people or begin to listen to the voice of God, we allow a moment to settle within us to capture truly what's being said, or what next steps need to occur. Listening and hearing are different. So I think it brings the question to ask, in this process, am I hearing or am I listening? Or could it be that I'm not familiar enough with the voice of God or yet have ever heard the voice of God? I'm not telling you they're fun questions. I'm just thinking through the process of what's the difference of hearing and listening. Second thing I think we see in this is God called him by name. Everybody likes to be called by your name. There's something about it that makes it feel good. So God speaks specifically to us. There's a generic call on all of us as followers of Christ, but there's also a specific call to the individual of who you are. And God calls you by name. Notice that he says, Samuel. The continual calling of Samuel's name is a reminder to me that God delights in who that person is. God delights in you. God delights in me. He has a specific plan and purpose for each of us. And he's not calling out, "Hey, dude, this is what I got." He's calling out, "Samuel, I have a next step greater for you." And so he calls him by name. We see that in Abraham in Genesis. We see that again where he says, Saul, Saul. The knowing that God calls you by name should trigger our response to go from hearing to listening. The third thing I think is important in listening is this idea of being receptive. God continued to speak to Samuel three times. I speak to my kid three times and I'm over it. But God speaks to Samuel. Three different times he calls him. You know why I think he continued with him? While he misplaced the that it was Eli, thought it was Eli's voice over his voice, I think as I look at it, the heart issue of him being receptive to respond to his master's call made the difference. Because he was willing to get up and respond to it, that God would continue to say, I know he's going to get it. I'm going to keep calling. I know he's going to get it. Samuel was receptive to the master's call. Therefore, God's heart was tender to that of Samuel to say, Samuel, Samuel, Samuel. God's calls many people. He speaks to many people. And oftentimes, we catch that word, but maybe we're not necessarily discerning of that voice, or the impression settles in and then goes away. But it's the gracious act of God that keeps speaking to you by name and asking you to respond to the purpose that he has. See, listening requires action and attention. Being receptive leads to that. When we set our minds that we're going to be receptive to that, what God has for us or desires for us, then we listen with attention that will lead to action. That call that's given to us, by his grace, he allows us opportunity to hear it and continue to hear it. God calls Samuel a third time in verse 10. And then shows himself to him. And Samuel's response is, speak, for your servant is listening. Now, notice that God didn't just say his name, Samuel, I want you to go do this and go down the street and tell these people that and then go do this. And when you return, I want you to go back over here. He didn't do that. He just simply said, Samuel, Samuel. And he waited. Because he wanted to see how receptive Samuel was to that voice. And when Samuel heard that voice, he laid for a moment in realization of who it was and said, speak. I'm ready to hear what you have to say. I'm now receptive. God called, God revealed, and he waited for Samuel's response. And it's not until Samuel's response, or it's not until your response that you give to God, that he's going to reveal it to you. Samuel listened to the voice of the Lord, and he was aware of the visible presence of the Lord also. And then the fourth thing I think is interesting in this process, it's not so much, it is part of listening, but Eli was on his way to retirement. His days were numbered. He was old. His eyes were waxed over. And if you look at Samuel, he was an industrious person. I mean, just he was caring for Eli. He was taking care of his daily needs. He was keeping up with the temple. He was keeping up with the chambers. I mean, all these things, Samuel was busy about his work. He was industrious. And I think it shows light that when we're in the midst of serving for the purpose of God's glory, we're more apt to be attentive and listen to what God wants to say to us. Now, it's not about, I can get busy. I mean, I can get busy here in a hurry. And let me just break the myth for you. Just because we're open 5:30 a.m. to 9 p.m. on a regular basis, and just because I work here in the rec center at Cool Spring Baptist Church, doesn't mean I'm always listening. I can get busy just as fast as you can get busy. But when we've responded, when we say speak for your servant is listening, when you've responded to that listening process, that means you've now taken the next step in obedience to take next steps in your journey, then we're more apt to listen to what God has next. Samuel was busy. He was serving. You know, another thing I think about a lot of times, you know, we want to be just put in the spot. You know what? I don't have time to do this. I want to get here. Just put me right here. It doesn't work that way. You got to be faithful in the small things in order for God to show you the bigger things. And so here's Samuel serving faithfully in that task. And God's getting ready to reveal to him a greater thing. We can expect God's gracious visits to us and his revealing to us when we're diligent about being attentive and listening in the midst of service. Samuel was found faithful in the small things. And as a response of good listening always brings reward. Go to third grade. You be a good listener. You get so-and-so. Playing sports. Listen to the coach. Comes about good response. More playing time. More instruction. More opportunity. And so as a response of Samuel listening, look what happens in verses 19 through 21. Thus Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fail. Samuel's now honored by God. All the increase of wisdom and grace occurs when the presence of God is with us. And now Samuel, not that it was his motive nor his drive, but simply by listening and his response, he's now honored by God. The second thing you see is in verse 21, Samuel was given further manifestation of what was next. So, God provided Samuel another step. Because Samuel had listened and because Samuel had responded, God now says, I can give you more. And I want to give you more. So, the more we listen, the more manifestations of God we begin to hear and begin to take in our next steps. And the final thing, Samuel would be honored by Israel. All of Israel would now honor this man who simply was a servant as the next prophet. They would recognize him as a prophet. He would grow in his service. He would be useful to this whole next generation. His response to God, his response to the people, would give him great opportunity to shine the light for Israel. Listening. It's not easy. But we're called to it. So, as you think about those questions, think about listening, the difference between hearing and listening. You have to ask yourself, am I familiar enough with the voice of the Lord? Or have I ever heard the voice of the Lord? And how do you respond to that? Today, God may be speaking to you, may have already spoken to you about opportunity of just being in serving other people in some passion that you have. That can be part of our missions process here. It can be part of food pantry. It can be part of sports and recreation. It can be part of children's ministry. It can be part of music. There is a whole host of things in which Cool Spring is engaged in this community about. And each one of you has a gift and a talent, and God's equipped you with that to be a part of that. Just off the top of my head, I got a couple of opportunities for devotions on Saturday. You can take care of those. But there's opportunities that abound. Maybe God's speaking to you about responding to that. Next step in your journey is to serve someone else in a passion area for you. Then it may be you never heard the voice of God. You don't even know what that really means. But I can tell you this, according to the scripture and what it says, is God is simply saying to you, I love you. And he's calling your name because he delights in your name. And he has a plan and a purpose for your life, as Jeremiah says, not to harm you, nor to hurt you, but that his name would be great, and in the process, he'll carry you through the path. And all he's saying is just simply, accept the gift of forgiveness. Put all that stuff that so easily entangles you, all that guilt, all those struggles, the daily sin that we all take part in, Throw them away. Accept my gift of forgiveness. I love you and your name behind it. That's where listening begins. So as Glenn comes and leads in our praise band, we're going to go into a time of communion. But just before that, here's an opportunity for you. You can sing if you want. Don't sing if you don't want. It's just an opportunity to listen, be still, and know that He is God.